The double fries, no slaw. It is Sunday night. The Noles are 3-0, have fallen in the rankings drastically all the way down from third to fourth. And shout out to folks in the comments that say we were going to be late today because we were actually on time. So shout us out. TJ Pinder, Richie Barnes, Harlan behind the screen. Making the magic happen and usually blaming me for whatever's going wrong. Richie, you've had a crazy weekend. We'll let some people get in here. We'll talk a little FSU football. Talk about yesterday. I know it was underwhelming, but we're all going to suffer and grin and bear it together. I went on a 45-minute rant yesterday, Richie, live while you were out partying. So that was fun. I feel like I got a lot of my ranting out there, so I don't have to do as much today. But you've had a crazy weekend. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, man, my good buddy who is married had a bachelor party this weekend. He lives up in D.C. and had multiple weddings canceled by the venue because of COVID. Said, screw it, we're just going to have a bachelor party in Orlando. So it was fun, but not the best planning. Fogo de Chao Friday night around 8 p.m. with a 7:50 tee time at Orange County National the next morning. That's the course where Brooks won the LIV event in March, actually. Beautiful course, played well. Orlando City game last night was awesome. They were down 3-1, came back to win 4-1 in extra time. And then today, just a little top golf. But yeah, a crazy weekend. I was able to see the last three quarters of the Florida State game yesterday live and rewatch the entire game today. There's plenty to talk about when it comes to the game. But, you know, a day after, especially after the rewatch, I feel a lot better than I did in the moment after having Bloody Marys and countless Mick Ultras on the golf course.
Yeah, so I my wife had an event yesterday. I was in Tallahassee on Thursday and Friday, and then I came home Friday afternoon. My wife had an event yesterday, and I was like, yeah, no big deal. It's Boston College. We're going to win by a million. I can watch the kids and still kind of, you know, work, cover the game, blah, 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 blah. And just, you know, felt good at 31-10. And my afternoon got a lot busier. I wasn't even planning on going live. I was like, we blow them out. I'm not doing a live reaction to that. Like, who cares? So, anyway. All right. Let's get after it, though. The one thing I want to say, though, Richie, as we go into it is, you know, yesterday was underwhelming, and it was disappointing at parts. And when you really – when you look back at the rewatch and you look back at, you know, the replay of how things went, Florida State started, you know, slow-ish. I mean, you know, they scored on their first two – they gave up points on their first two drives defensively, but, you know, offensively they scored on their first three drives. And the only – you know, they did have to punt once in the first half, but they scored – 3 out of 4 times they had the ball in the first half. And the only time they didn't is when, you know, Jordan got hurt. And then they started really good in the second half. They scored on 5 of their first 6 possessions. I mean, they started, you know, I wouldn't even call it like a slow start. Defensively, I, you know, think it was a slow start, but at the same time you gave up 10 points and a half. I mean, that's really not bad at all. Defensively overall, and we'll talk about it. I mean, you also gave up a fumble return touchdown and a touchdown after a you know, a squib kick or whatever. So anyway, all that said, I think that the Noles really, you know, had a bad like 15 minutes and then just kind of went cold offensively. But, you know, I guess the biggest takeaway is I'm not worried. I already saw somebody mention, you know, like you can't play up 1 week and then play down the next week and then play up 1 week and play down the next week. And I mean, I'd agree with that. I think I don't worry at all about them coming out motivated and prepared and ready to go for Clemson at all. I just think it's worrisome that you did kind of have a little bit of a letdown, whether that was a look ahead, whether that's some kind of an illness, whether that's whatever the situation is. That's my biggest, you know, concern. I don't worry about any kind of hangover going into Clemson. I feel just as confident about that today as I did last week. I think the Noles, you know, end up finding a way there. But it is disheartening that you maybe got caught looking just a little bit ahead. Maybe you got to a point where you felt comfortable and you let your foot off the gas just a little bit. I think that, you know, it was a kind of a mirror image of that Southern Miss game where it was closer at half than you wanted it to be. You came out in the third quarter and absolutely started on fire. And against Southern Miss, you just kind of kept your foot down on the pedal and you kept extending that lead, made them quit, kind of got to a point where you just run the clock out. And against BC, I think you got to that point where they were on the verge of quitting and too many mistakes happened, and you kind of let your foot off the pedal. So any, we'll kind of go through the game here in a minute, but any kind of high overarching thoughts like that, Richie?
Yeah, it was a weird week, TJ, right? You know, when you talk about a team trying to pull off an upset against a team they're a 26.5-point underdog to, a lot of things have to happen, right? Defensive touchdowns, special teams turnovers that turn into touchdowns, injuries to key players, just extending ridiculous third and fourth and longs and converting them to first downs. You know, that Keon Coleman, thank goodness that punt that hit him went out of bounds. Not to mention all week they were under trying to figure out, is this game going to happen? Is it going to happen in Boston? Are we going to have to move it somewhere? Not to make excuses, because there's plenty to be critical of, and I think we will be in a bit. But it was just a weird game overall. The week felt weird. You know, we're checking the Weather Channel all week, not necessarily updates from practice. You and I both came on here and said Boston College was very bad, and we barely even did a preview of the game. And I don't regret that, because, again, there was a lot of different things going on this week that led to what we saw. But ultimately, when all that happens and you still get the win, I don't care if it's 2 points or 20 points, first conference road game of the season, just take it, be happy. You know, we'll break it down here in a little bit, but the end of the day today, you know, 24 hours after the fact, or, you know, 26 hours now since the game's been over, I'm not overly upset. You know, we'll see what happens this coming week against Clemson, but it was just a weird week, TJ. And the way the game played out was just weird as well.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, we talked about this. We thought that Florida State could, we'll get to James in just a second. I thought that Florida State could go in and play like a C-plus or D game and probably still win. And I don't think they played like an F game. I think they did some things really poorly. I mean, they still put up 31 points. Johnny Wilson looked like he bounced back well. Jordan Travis wasn't the sharpest. We can talk about him in a little bit. But I still think they did some things well. I think they applied decent pressure at times, you know. But I think they played a C-minus game, and it almost bit them, right? Like, I thought that, you know, Florida State could have played much better, but they just didn't. And, you know, it nearly cost them, but it didn't, right? If they play a B, A-minus game, I mean, they win by 30, right? Like, that, you know, yeah, that's probably where they were to start the game. When it was 31-10, that was probably like a B type of game. And it certainly went downhill there, and it was probably a C-minus type of thing. I mean, they, you know, we're doing a lot of knuckle dragging and being pretty sad over, you know, a team that is now 9 of 9 in their last 9 games. And if you get to 10, everyone forgets about it. But it's not as doom and gloom as maybe we all want it to be. James.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win.
So I did a live reaction yesterday, and you want to know what's disheartening, Richie and Harlan, is having to play a super chat after that game. I'm over here playing like, if you ain't a recruit and going to Florida State, what is you doing? All right, so a little bit better today. James, thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. What are your biggest concerns health-wise heading up to Clemson Saturday? I mean, I think Maurice Smith and Akeem Dent have to be in there, right? I love Rob Scott. I think he, you know, obviously Jordan Travis, you know, the guys that got banged up last week. But I think you need those guys back. I think Dent really proves his worth there on the back end. I don't know if Kevin Knowles is ready for the full time back there. You know, the young guys are kind of the same way. I think you really, really want Dent back there. And I think Maurice Smith is kind of what makes your offensive line go in the middle. I think Washington has done a serviceable job there in the middle. But I think that Smith is your guy. And I expect both of them to be back this week, barring any setbacks. Obviously, everyone noticed that Tatum got a little banged up and Bethune got a little banged up. And Bell got a little bit banged up. And obviously, JT went out that we all kind of watched. But yeah, I mean, you know, those three are massive too. You cannot lose Jordan Travis going to this game. I mean, he's certainly the most important player on the team right now and will be for the rest of the year. You don't want to lose linebacker depth with Shipley probably going for 4,000 yards this weekend. And, you know, kind of the same idea. Jaheim Bell is a matchup nightmare. Who is the only player on the team with experience of beating Clemson. And so I don't know how much that experience really matters. I just kind of like his matchup against anybody in the country. So I don't know. I mean, I think you need all those guys back. I mean, I'd like to have Robert Scott back too. We'll see there. I think his injury is maybe a little bit more serious. But, I mean, Richie, outside of the obvious Jordan Travis being back, who's your number one out of that list I just mentioned?
I think all of them, like you mentioned, you know, Clemson's receivers don't scare me too much, but neither did Boston's College. So I agree with Akeem Dent as well. Some of these guys that didn't play in the game from the start, I think they probably could have given it a chance if Clemson was this as Clemson game was on Saturday. I think they were very confident in their game plan and just the talent mismatch that Florida State had, the coaching staff was, and the training staff. But I do think, you know, several of those guys probably could have gone Saturday if they had to. Now you still got the win and you still got to rest them. You know, we were on the edge of our seat in the fourth quarter, the last minute of the game, which is never fun against a team like Boston College. That's not a very good BC team. But yeah, I mean, you know, Akeem Dent, you want that secondary because it's, you know, that was disappointing yesterday. And at the same time, how disappointing can it really be when this quarterback is just an athlete, man? And he bought time. It's hard to ask your defensive backfield to cover guys for 4, 5, 6 seconds. There's going to be breakdowns, and that would happen to Georgia, Alabama, whoever it is, if that were the case with them as well. But you know, obviously, you know, this isn't breaking news. You want to be as healthy as possible come Saturday because Clemson does have a very talented team. And you're going to need to play your A game to win this. You know, you cannot play like you did against Boston College and win. But again, a lot of crazy things happened yesterday that typically don't happen. Lawrence Toffoli had 2 career fumbles heading into the game. And, you know, BC gets 6 points off of him. It's just, it's strange again. But yeah, but long story short, you want everyone as healthy as possible. Jordan Travis obviously is the number one guy.
You know, we'll get to Seminoles 03 here. You can throw his up, Harlan, but I want to add just one more thing to that. Yeah, you're right, Richie. Like, if I was to tell you early in the week, which we put out a video on injuries and stuff, you know, what we were hearing and what we expected, and I said I expected all 3 guys, Scott, Smith, and Dent, to sit out, but I'd expect all of them to have played if it was Clemson week. And if I'd have told you on Wednesday, hey, these 3 guys are going to sit out, but it is going to severely limit our run game, it is going to also hurt us on the back end, on some second and third and longs, and we're going to give some stuff up, and we're going to sneak out of Boston College with a win, and it's not going to be comfortable, but we are going to win, but we're going to be fully healthy going into Clemson, I think we all would have taken that. Now, you still should have beaten Boston College by more. There's no doubt about it. I'm not making excuses or saying, yeah, oh, those. But if I'd have offered you that trade, I don't think anybody in here would have said, like, oh, no, no, give me the close loss, or give me, I'm sorry, excuse me, give me the close win, and give me going into Death Valley Junior fully healthy. Now, again, yeah, that's like just a perspective, just a way to look at it. So, all right, Harlan, play a sound for me.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
This is something that was brought up to me a couple of places. Seminoles 03, I appreciate the love here. Would it be stupid to think that all of BC's penalties sort of threw off the offensive pace, nulled by 6 this weekend? I like it. Florida State come out as a pick 'em today. I'd be interested to see how that line moves. I've got some thoughts on that we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, minus, I don't think that's a bad take. I'm sorry?
Minus 1 on Bovada, but yeah, go ahead. We'll get to that in a second.
I don't think that that's a bad take. You know, what I thought is, you know, BC obviously had a ton of dumb penalties, including the one at the end. Like, thank God for that face mask. But, you know, people were saying, like, oh, well, Florida State is barely winning this, and all these penalties for Boston College, like, help. Like, I think that most of the penalties, when you go back on the rewatch, like, they were happening on drives where Florida State was already, like, it was just procedural thing after procedural thing. And a lot of the penalties, they'd get in, like, a 3rd and 17, and they'd convert it anyway. And so it's like, I don't really know how many of the penalties, like, truly did have an impact on, like, that specific drive or on the overall result or however you want to look at it. But I do think there's something to be said for the way that the penalties do chop up the game and really do hurt game flow. And like, there's some where you just rather, man, I mean, you're always going to take the penalty. You're always gonna take the 5 yards, but you're just like, man, on a drive that we're just booking it down the field, I don't care about that 5 yard. Like, just, yeah. Like, I'd almost rather our flow over 5 yards. Now, you're always gonna take the penalty because you're never going to say like, yeah, I'd rather be further from the end zone than closer. But I don't think that's a bad take. I don't, you know, again, I think the penalties had less of an impact on a lot of things outside of like some really, really detrimental stuff like that face mask and whatever. But I don't think that's a terrible take there. Richie, I want to talk a little bit about the Clemson line and just some thoughts around that. But, I thought the BC game really came down to like, it was almost like the NC State game last year where it was like, just 10 minutes of just crap. You know, you had a chance with a 31-10 lead and the ball at essentially midfield to go and do something pretty special. And at that point, it's 31-10. There's 7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. If you go score there and make it either 34-10 or 38-10 with a short field, right? Like they had an awful shanked punt that I thought Florida State could have really, really capitalized on and done something with. And they kind of stall out, right? Jordan Travis, incomplete pass to Hill. Hill gets 4 yards, and then Travis runs for two. We were going to go for it on fourth there because we were on the plus side of midfield, but an offsides, offensive offsides on Winston Wright. I've not seen that a lot, lined up in the neutral zone, just boneheaded. You end up not being able to convert there. I thought it was frustrating that several things let you down at once. And, you know, I guess we're not pointing at any one player with any of this, but we'll run through it. Mastromano's punt through the back of the end zone. You can't pin him deep. I mean, I get it. That's going to happen. I'm not trying to point at Mastro or anything like that. Like, I get it. Things happen. But if you pin him deep, maybe that drive works out a little bit differently. You know, Boston College got to start. They had a fourth down on that first series. And if it's fourth and one on your own 9, you're probably not going for it, right? They went for a fourth and one on their own 29. But if you had punted that ball a little bit further and not the touchback, you maybe get away with it. A couple plays later, a 3rd and 17, and they complete a 52-yard pass. Okay, well, there's a defensive breakdown, right? And so special teams will let you down. Defense is now letting you down. They get into the end zone there and cut it to 2 scores when you had a chance to go put it up to 4 scores. Right after that, you fumble the kick, right? They do the pooch punt. We diagnosed it well. I thought coaching was fine on this. You understood that it was coming. Mike Norvell calls the timeout, and Benson doesn't fall on the ball. You know, I think there's been a lot of concern around the way that Benson's run to start this game, despite his 3 touchdowns last week. But Benson doesn't fall on a ball, and they get the ball in plus territory. We actually get a stop on fourth down, and then the play that you mentioned, Toa Philly comes out and fumbles the ball. They score a touchdown, and all of a sudden, it's a 9-point game. We have to punt it back because we can't get anything going. 4th and 1, another penalty, an offensive pass interference call. At BC's 29, we're absolutely in business. Like, the pass to Morlock is going to seal the game there. There's 7.5 minutes left, and we're inside of their 10. The offensive pass interference brings it back. BC goes down and scores a touchdown. The teams trade possessions to end the game. But, man, it was just like a 10-minute span of just everything that could let you down, let you down. Mastro couldn't pin him deep. You give up the 3rd and 17. You have the offensive pass interference. You have the fumble 6. You can't fall on an onside kick. Like, just 7 or 8 mistakes all at one time, all bunched together. And when you're a good team, you can usually handle like 1 or 2 of those. If 1 or 2 of those happens, like, no big deal. And I guess Florida State's good enough to where they can get by with all of those happening at once. But, man, that's what made it so tough. You're going to have mistakes, and you're going to have things that happen. And Mastro's going to hit it into the end zone sometimes, and you're going to have fumbles, and you're going to have interceptions, and you're going to give up long third down conversions, and you're going to have offensive pass interferences. But when all of them happen back to back to back to back to back, that's where a game goes from 31-10 to a 2-point game in a matter of less than a quarter.
Yeah, and it was frustrating. And there was one, I think, third down where Florida State was on, you know, their own side of the field, where Jordan Travis, I don't know what he was thinking. He took an intermediate shot. I think it was Toa Philly he had in the flat. It was a 3rd and 3. And you had the first down right there, but Jordan tried to get the little extra. You just got to be smarter in that situation. And again, we're not blaming any one player. Jordan, Florida State is not ranked number 3 in the coaches and number 4 in the AP without Jordan Travis. But just imagine if all this gets cleaned up. We're not even talking about this. We're probably already talking about Clemson right now, saying, hey, we did what we thought they were going to do. Here's a mini Clemson preview before our Wednesday night full Clemson preview. So, yeah, it was a lot of stupid things. But again, if you can do all of that in a conference game on the road, I don't care if it's the worst team in the conference, and you still get the win, that's a big deal. Because look around the country. Georgia struggled with South Carolina at home. Right, Alabama struggled on the road at USF. That was a fourth quarter game. Texas, who jumped Florida State in the AP poll, went to the fourth quarter 10-10 with Wyoming. Like Florida State, we all are diehard Florida State fans, and that's why we noticed the struggle here. But it was just a weird day in college football, guys.
Jennifer Williams. So it's confirmed the jersey combos are benched, right? Man, something about alternate uniforms. Although I guess we did wear alternates against Georgia Tech last year and kind of had our ways with our way with them. But yeah, not a great day for the alternates. I didn't think they looked too bad. Richie, I don't know what your thoughts were on them. I like when they do new stuff and different stuff. I know the recruits like it. Harlan, sorry, I forgot to let you play a sound there.
Put a smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we going to do it then, We do it, baby. Let's go, baby.
That sound there should probably be the super chat for this entire week, though. So since it's Clemson week, but shout out Jameis. Yeah, I don't know. I thought the uniforms looked good. Thank you, Jennifer, for the love, so much. But I thought they looked good. But yeah, I'm good blaming the uniforms if it'll make people feel better about the way we play. The chat is very split on the uniforms versus non-uniforms. Richie, what did you think?
I loved them. I think it, you know, and I'm in that middle ground of Florida State fans being 35 years old, so I'm not like a recent grad or a student, and I'm not someone who went there back in the 80s when the dynasty started, right? But for growing up my whole life, all I saw was garnet and gold, you know, occasionally the garnet on garnet in the swamp or the white on white up at Notre Dame. You know, the alternate uniforms weren't a thing. I think the coaches use it as a way to reward the players, right? We saw it last week, and I think, you know, people were complaining about that. I think the coaches said they wanted to reward the players for how they played against LSU. You know, I think it's a little – I love the look. I don't know if I love it for Florida State, but I know recruits like it, and I know the players like it, and that's all I care about. I don't care about, you know, Big Daddy Noel 2817 thinks about on the Noel's 247 message board. I'm sorry if that's even a real person. But yeah, I had no problem with it. But if the recruits like it, if the players like it, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. So let me give some love to Garnet and Gold. GarnetandGold.com. I was up there on Thursday. Listen, I got an incredible polo. And if I had any forward thinking at all, I would have shared that so that Harlan could put it up on the screen while we're talking right now. But make sure that you're doing all your shopping at GarnetandGold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW. They have one of those hoodies that Mike's been wearing, like the kind of half jacket cut off. It's not the black one. It's the garnet one. The black one's not available for retail, so stop waiting on that to come out. Maybe it comes out down the road, but go to garnetandgold.com and get yours today. No slaw, N-O-S-L-A-W, to get 15% off. So, Richie, overall, again, we kind of thought, you know, the game was kind of a culmination of a ton of things. Where are you as far as like a panic meter goes, right? 1 to 10. You talked about Sleepy Nooner, Red Bandana, Clemson next week, hurricane threats. There's rumors of the flu, which I don't care about at all. Not that I don't care about kids getting sick. Somebody on Twitter obviously just didn't understand that when I said it earlier. I just don't care about excuses because you had the flu and you were up 31 to 10. And I don't think the flu makes you fumble the ball. But anyway, all that said, are you hitting the panic? Like, what's your panic 1 to 10? Because I'm about at a 0.5. I'll give away my answer.
I'm about a 2. And it's just because outside of Southern Miss, so LSU and BC, the two power five teams you've played, I'm not in love with the rushing attack, but I'm going to give Mike the benefit of the doubt because even when Florida State was terrible, when he had that 3-6 season during COVID and then 5-7 the next year, we could always run the ball. It hasn't been there necessarily. And I don't take an excuse of, oh, we're missing some offensive linemen because we were told that we have, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 guys who can play. I do think between Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins, they do figure that out. But that's why it's very low, right? And this weekend could change that tremendously. If they go out there and lose, you know, 37 to 20, you know, that 2 or maybe even a 1.5, that jumps up pretty high to like a 7 or 8. But I'm not going to overreact to one game. I think, you know, we have that tendency as fans to in the moment. I definitely overreacted yesterday as I was filled with alcohol and watching with, you know, 10 other guys on the couch at the bachelor party. But, you know, waking up today, again, rewatching the game, I think was really good. And I just don't see any reason to panic yet, because if this team is healthy enough and they come out and execute against Clemson, I expect them to win the game next weekend. You know, we'll get into a full detailed prediction Wednesday night, 7 p.m. right here on our YouTube channel. Please hit subscribe, like, all that good stuff. It helps more than you know. But long story short, TJ, I'm not panicking right now. I'm just not.
Yeah, I tweeted this just a few minutes ago, but Florida State still has the best win in the country. You know, LSU is the first team with one loss. Everybody else ahead of them is undefeated. And so, you know, when Florida State's playing at their best, I think they can beat anybody in the country. And when they're playing down, I think they could lose to, I wouldn't say anyone in the country because they played a pretty poor game yesterday and still didn't lose. But I think they could lose certainly some games on their schedule, right? I think if you happen to play like that, you could certainly lose to Clemson. You could certainly lose to Duke. You could certainly lose to Miami, Florida. Pittsburgh's really bad, though.
It's bad, yeah.
Maybe not them. But you could lose to some of those teams, right? And you could, in theory, you could finish like 7-5. Now, do I think that Florida State plays down to all those teams? No, absolutely not. I think you're not going to catch Florida State sleeping against one of those teams that I just mentioned. Now, do you catch them sleeping against a Wake Forest? Do you catch them sleeping against a Pittsburgh who's not very good? Like Pitt and BC are probably about the same. And so, you know, I think that's probably the question. That's probably the worry. You could just lose to Clemson because they're better. I mean, you know, in Death Valley is a tough place to play where they don't lose very often. But I don't worry about them being down against Clemson or not playing up to it or just whatever the situation is there. I think they'll play fairly well against Clemson. There are certainly some things that I do want to see improved. I thought coaching was weird at times. I think you've just got so many weapons that you really have to attack your weapons. And I certainly don't want to just give up on the running game ever, but I thought that there were times where Norvell looked like he was just kind of overthinking things, just kind of doing things weird, you know, trying to, I mean, you've got a lot of really good down the field weapons that you can use. And he almost tried to like Graham Mertz, you know, Jordan Travis a little bit. If you guys watched the Florida Tennessee game last night, I mean, I thought Florida did a really good job of doing like the short dump off stuff for Mertz early in the game, just to kind of get him comfortable and get him going. And I don't think you have to do that. I don't think Florida State needs the 3-yard wheel. Like, I think you just play, like you just go after it. Nobody can guard us. Nobody can defend this offense. And so I don't think you have to be, oh man, let's just get him into a rhythm and get some dump off stuff. No, I mean, just go attack people. And so I thought that they got kind of cute late, you know, but other than that, I mean, I expect Norvell to coach better. I expect the players to play better. If we're healthy, I think that Florida State still goes out and wins. BC did a good job. You mentioned this in our notes. BC did a good job of shortening the game. Florida State only had 3.5-ish real possessions. You know, the one was pretty quick because Jordan got hurt. But, man, they really only had 3 legitimate possessions in that first half. I mean, they scored on all 3 of them, but that's just not getting the ball very much. And so they did a good job with that. Florida State seemed like they were kind of going slow at times, allowing BC to sub a little bit more than they should have. I think that's something that Florida State needs to kind of clean up a little bit with these new clock rules. But at the end of the day, I mean, I said this 2 years ago, we lost to Jackson State, you know, in week 2. And so it's hard for me, Jacksonville State, sorry. So it's hard for me to get super down about a loss. You know, I know that some people enjoy being miserable and just, you know, it's kind of, I guess, cliche or fun or just kind of the trendy thing to do to, you know, almost wish that you would have lost so that you could say like, hey, I proved it right. You know, proved you're right. We stink. But that's just weird to me. I know it's so cliche, Richie, but I'd certainly rather win an ugly game than lose a pretty one. You know, like, you know, so would you rather have just lost to would you rather have lost to LSU in a pretty game and then blown BC out? Like, I just don't understand, like, you know, being so miserable. I think Florida State has things to clean up. Everybody played poorly yesterday. Colorado was a 3 touchdown favorite. Bama was a 3 touchdown favorite. Georgia was a 3 touchdown favorite. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff. Texas was a huge favorite.
Colorado was a 3 touchdown favorite.
Yeah. And so, like, you play bad. You know, you beat Clemson on Saturday and nobody remembers this game. And by the same token, if you lose to Clemson, nobody remembers this game either. Like, you're just worried about like rebounding after Clemson because you've won the game. You've moved on. Again, you free fell in the rankings from 3rd to 4th. And so, you played poorly, you still won, and you go out and see what you can do next week. So, I don't really have a lot else besides that. Any other thoughts on that? We certainly can move on. We can talk about some other stuff that happened in college football and take some questions and talk about some other stuff. But, I think that's my thought on BC.
you kind of mentioned, you know, the subbing. I think Mike Norvell, Boston College may have done Florida State a favor yesterday by some of the stuff they put on tape, because a defense can sub anytime they want. But if that player is not off the field before the ball snapped, that's a penalty right there. And I thought Boston College did a great job. In Florida State, when the offense subs, the defense gets as much time as they want, basically, to match the substitutions. And Florida State was subbing in a lot. And I thought Boston College was very smart in subbing in guys in one position group and then taking a few minutes and then subbing more guys from a different position group out, to where Florida State now has less than 10 seconds on the play clock. So they can't really adjust to the personnel that just came in the field. They kind of just have to run what they had. You know, Florida State has the personnel where they could run an entire drive without having to sub. And that puts the defense in a really bad position. And I think you may see a lot of that at Clemson this weekend, because, you know, Boston College very smartly exposed a loophole in the rule that, you know, they were able to shorten the game. Like you said, TJ, Florida State had less than 60 offensive snaps yesterday. You want that number to be closer to 70, which accounts to 2 to 3 more series. So I just thought BC came out with a great game plan. I don't want to say they outcoached Florida State, but I think they took the game a little more seriously, you know, just based on everything we saw, who played, who didn't, who could have potentially played if they had to. So I think, you know, and I think Mike Norvell, when he got up 31-10, said, hey, let's just slow the game down, get out of here. It was almost like that 2012 NC State game where Jimbo got that early 17-3 lead or 16-3 lead, whatever it was, and kind of shut the offense down. It almost seemed like that's what Mike was doing, going very vanilla. And it almost came back to bite him. Luckily, it did not. But on to Clemson, and I think you're going to see a completely different Florida State football team this week. In 5 days, if you're listening on podcast, or 6 days, if you're listening live, I cannot wait, because I think, you know, you're going to see several years of frustration come to an end up in Death Valley this weekend.
Yeah, I still really like the Noles, you know, and there's a lot of talk about, I want to say this and then we'll move on. I didn't think Norvell was great yesterday at times. I don't think he coached a C type game, and I love Mike Norvell. I mean, that is not me trying to slam him at all, but I don't think he was great in some of the decisions that he made. And there's questions around the defense. You know, I think that, you know, the Boston College drives were 75 yards, 72 yards, 51 yards. They ended up having to punt on that drive, but they moved the ball at will their first three drives. Defense did step up. They bent and didn't break in that third drive, aided by some penalties, thankfully. Then to finish this drive, they had a couple of three and outs. They didn't do anything. Next couple of possessions, Florida State was able to turn them over. And then Boston College went 80 yards. After that, they took the fumble back for a touchdown. And then they went 95 yards. And so it was frustrating to watch Boston College's offense do kind of, I don't want to say whatever they wanted, but it was either a three and out or it was Boston College just absolutely having their way with his defense. And I think there were like three or four three and outs. You had the pick six, and then every other drive, Boston College was driving it down your throat. And that's concerning from a defensive perspective for sure. You did some things well, but just not enough. And that has to get better. We came into the game 77th overall in the country in defensive ranking, and I'm sure that fell. And this cannot be a top or a bottom 80. You know, it cannot be below 80th in defense. You've got to find, I mean, and whether that falls on Fuller, whether that falls on injury, whether that falls on Verse, everyone, the defense has to be better or it's going to cost you. There is no excuse for you to give up. And I know that six of them came off the punt six. Boston College's over under in this game was like 12.5, right? And so you take away the fumble six and you still gave up double what Vegas said their over under should be. So Vegas said you should have given up about two touchdowns, maybe a hair less, and you gave up double that. And that's just not acceptable. And so if this defense doesn't figure it out quickly, then you're going to just be in a lot of shootouts, and sometimes you're going to win that, sometimes you're going to lose. You had a couple shootouts last year that you won. You had a couple shootouts last year that you lost. And the defense needs to pull it together for sure. Again, I thought it was discouraging that at times Boston College's offensive line looked like they were getting pretty good push on our defense. That should just not happen. I understand that Boston College recruits well too, but this defensive line is supposed to be the best in the country. It's certainly supposed to be the best in the ACC. And they... I don't know if it was an effort thing. I don't know if it was a red bandana thing. I don't know what it was, But they obviously just can't play like that. And so the defense has to get better and has to play better next week. Now, all that said, I think mindset is a lot of it. And I think that the way you play and the way you focus and the way you prepare is typically the way that you're going to perform on Saturday. And so if the mindset, for whatever reason, wasn't there, if there was an issue with sickness, whatever the situation was, that needs to be rectified by the time you get to Clemson, South Carolina, because they will absolutely push your crap in if it's not. And so I'm not hitting the panic button on it, but I think a lot of people have a lot of concerns around Florida State's defense, and they have for the last few years. And if it doesn't get better quickly, I think they're, because the talent is all there, and that's part of the problem. If the defense doesn't get better quickly, we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations here fairly soon. And, you know, nobody wants that. So hoping the defense does step up, though, because that, to me, that's the key to, you know, not only winning this weekend, but for the rest of the year. Last year, Florida State's defense was great against bad teams. They were pitiful against good teams. That can't continue to be the trend of this year.
Yeah, definitely not. And, you know, like I said, luckily this week, you know, Clemson, Will Shipley is a really good running back, and he did a lot of damage against Florida State last year. Cade Klubnik is very talented. He's starting to look a little better. He's a little slippery. He's not a freak athlete like we just saw against Boston College and against LSU with Jaden Daniels in week one. But, you know, he's a guy that if you're not disciplined, you know, he can sneakily, you know, get 7-8 yards on a quick scramble on a 3rd and 5. And you have to avoid that. Again, we'll break that game down a lot more on Wednesday night. But overall, I think, you know, disappointed with how the game looked. But a win is a win. Survive in advance. Because if you finish the season up in the swamp and you go 12-0 and then win in Charlotte, you're 13-0. No one's going to care what happened up in Chestnut Hill on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, this game is going to be quickly forgotten one way or the other. In fact, I know the team will break stuff down. I know that they'll, try and learn as much as they can, glean as much as they can from it, but it'll get flushed, right? It'll get flushed, and it'll go very quickly into Clemson prep. That's kind of where we are. You were hoping that you could certainly just take a team lightly as a fan base and blow past them, and that didn't happen, and unfortunately, you know, maybe the team did that too. And that's part of the problem. And here we are. So
maybe the team watched our previous show, TJ, on Wednesday and said, oh, we got this. Don't worry.
This is going to be really easy. TJ and Richie said that we could play a D game and still win. Like, this is easy. So, all right. Do you want to talk about some of these other games? UGA struggled at home against South Carolina. They were down at halftime. Bama looks terrible. They have no idea what they're doing at the quarterback position. Tennessee was absolute frauds. I thought it was hilarious that Tennessee lost last night, and then somehow they still were ahead of Florida in the rankings. I don't understand that at all.
They should not be ranked.
Tennessee, that's hilarious. And then the Colorado game was crazy last night. I don't know if you stayed up till... Oh, you said you did, crushing the McUltras. But the Colorado game was a ton of fun last night too. So crazy day of college football, and this upcoming slate is a lot of fun too.
I cannot wait for this upcoming slate. But man, it and I know our fan base has differing opinions about Dion, but what he's done for that school as far as exposure is amazing. The fact that he had Lil Wayne bring the team out live yesterday on the field, one of my favorite rappers of all time, man. It was just... I'm starting to become a Colorado fan, and I don't really want to be.
Oh, boy. We just lost all our subscribers.
Yeah, right. No, but I'm pulling for him. You know, what was Jay Norvell, no relation to Mike, obviously thinking but before the game? And I did find it hilarious that in Shedeur Sanders' post-game on-field press conference, he did have his hat on and sunglasses. I thought that was a nice move by him. But, yeah, like I said, just a weird day of football all around. A lot of power teams that people really respect struggled. But like you said, this week, I think we have 5 ranked first ranked matchups, and Florida State Clemson is not one of them. So 6 games that I cannot wait to see. And quite frankly, Clemson should be ranked. They have the talent. They are a very good team. There's a reason that an unranked team is only a 1-point underdog right now, according to Bovada, against the number 3 or 4 team in the country, depending on which poll you're looking at. Again, we'll get into that plenty, but yeah, this weekend, this Saturday, clear your calendars, guys. If you're like me and you love to play golf, just put it off till Sunday. You know, NFL's kind of boring anyway this early in the season, But yeah, this weekend is a park your butt on the couch and, you know, order Uber Eats three times kind of Saturday.
Caesars Sportsbook has Florida State -1.5, an over under of 55. So that's like a projected score of like 27-28. Yeah. So yeah, that would be nuts. Yeah. I will be pulling my hair out there in Clemson, South Carolina.
And it will not surprise me.
If you're going to be in town, make sure you come by our tailgate. The link to buy tickets for the tailgate is in the description, so make sure that you get in there. Space is pretty limited, but we are going to be out there at 8 a.m. Mimosas. Actually, I don't love mimosas. Bloody Marys for sure. We go big or go home here. Go to brunch for a mimosa. And then bourbon and cigars afterwards. So we'll celebrate the win in style. So Guthrie's will be out there. We'll have a good time. Richie, any other I'm flushing this BC game. I don't know that I'm even going to do any more content around this all week. We will do videos all week. So if you're not subscribed, make sure you hit that button. But do you want to put a bow on BC? You want to get off that or just get the heck out of here? Shout outs and go.
Yeah, hit the shout outs. The BC game, it happened. We talked about it. It's over. It's behind us. You know, we're moving forward on the climb, guys. You know, shout out my buddy Pat. His bachelor party this weekend, and they're going to have their official wedding in November, so I'll be down there for that. Great to see, you know, 11 college friends essentially, you know, all in town for the weekend. And shout out for having it in Orlando, to where my drive to the rental was about 12 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like if it wouldn't have been Orlando, you just would have not gone on them. So sorry, guys. I was up in Tallahassee this week. I went to the beach volleyball charity golf tournament. Fantastic time. Shout out Brooke Niles, who I saw. Amy Bond was out there hitting as well. That's all I got. Those are my shout outs. Shout out Allie Peake's birthday today and Devin Flaherty too. So I just texted them happy birthday. So I'm sure they're tuning in watching. So, all right, we'll be back with a preview of Clemson Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Thank you guys for the love. Thank you guys for the comments, super chats, all that you do to support the show. Got a lot of content coming for you this week. A lot of Clemson talk that we will break down. Have something almost every day. So appreciate you guys. Richie, Harlan, thank you, boys. We'll talk with you all soon. Go Noles.